The analysis conducted by the Center for Strategic and International Studies represents some of the first detailed insight into how DoD's spending patterns changed as sequestration hit in 2013. The automatic reductions cut the Pentagon's overall budget by $56 billion, or 8%, between 2012 and 2013. That much was known already. But the analysis shows a disproportionate share of the cuts fell on products and services, leaving contracts with a smaller piece of a smaller pie. David Berto leads the National Security Program on Industry and Resources at CSIS.
Of that total defense gross outlays, 53% in 2012 went to contract obligations. Only 49% went to contracts in 2013. The money's going down, and the percentage of that money going to contract obligations is going down as well. So there's a double whammy effect in terms of both the addressable market and reliance on contractors as time goes by.
The DoD-wide numbers obscure some more dramatic changes in the military services. The Army's obligations fell by 21%. The Air Force declined by 22%, and other defense agency spending fell by 18%. Spending on Navy contracts fell by just 2%, though, driven mainly by the fact that that service bought a lot of expensive products that year, including $7.4 billion for the F-35 program, more than $1 billion for nuclear reactors, and $800 million for upgrades to the USS Nimitz aircraft carrier. That point underscores another key finding from the CSIS report. While sequestration hurt almost every procurement program, big ticket items bought from the Pentagon's biggest vendors seem to have found some shelter from sequestration. Contracts from small, medium, and large firms each fell by 19% in 2013. The story is different, though, when it comes to the six super large vendors that are the prime contractors on most of DoD's big systems. Contract obligations that flowed to Boeing, Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, Raytheon, General Dynamics, and BAE Systems declined by just 9% that year.
Keep in mind, we saw the same pattern with contracts over $500 million, only down about half the rate of all the others. There's a high correlation between contracts over $500 million and the big six companies, and so it's not surprising to see that pattern from the sequester year. Again, though, this is something we're going to look very closely at. Is this a one-year anomaly because it was harder to say yes, postpone and delay those because you have to exercise those options, or is this a trend that will continue?
Pentagon officials have expressed increasing levels of worry that they are underinvesting in research and development, and the CSIS study appears to back up those concerns. Broken out by category of contract spending, R&D took the biggest hit from the 2013 cuts, falling by 21%, says Greg Sanders, a research fellow at CSIS.
And they're reasonably spread. In fiscal year 2012, we had looked at it, and the news was relatively good. You could actually trace the declines in R&D to that point to major defense acquisition programs being canceled or maturing out of R&D into procurement funding, neither of which is necessarily a problem. However, this year, it's not. It's more widely based. We're seeing cuts in early to mid R&D. So we see the largest decline for Army, though that's in keeping with the overall story. Navy's share of R&D and Air Force's share of R&D are both up as a result. And other DoD has also had a larger share of this picture of R&D, but they've all gone down in absolute dollar terms.
Berto says that trend bears watching over the next several months. Initially, researchers had speculated that it might be a one-year drop-off because when sequestration first struck the Pentagon, officials were pressuring program officials to simply delay their spending the next year. At that time, they still believed Congress would undo the automatic spending cuts. But initial indications from Treasury Department data appear to indicate that DoD is still spending at the same levels.
So the idea that you could punt was a one-year idea. So what we were watching for in 2014 was to see whether these R&D numbers would start coming back up. The initial data says they weren't. They didn't. They're down about another 4% in 2014, even though there was more money available. And I think when we look for the follow-on to this, One of the big questions we had in 2013 with sequester year is how much of these trends is a one-year anomaly, how much of this is what we're going to see in 2014, and then begin to anticipate a pattern here. So we're eagerly anticipating that. But the initial data makes it look like 2014 is very much thus continuation of the same decline.
On a positive note, the report seems to indicate the department is doing a reasonably good job of fostering competition, even as its top-line budget numbers have fallen. In fact, CSIS's numbers paint a happier picture of the trend than the Defense Department's own figures, partially because the two organizations define competition in different ways. DOD's math counts any procurement that was open to bidders as, quote, competitively awarded, even if it was obvious at the time that there was only one likely bidder. By that standard, the competition rate fell from 62% in 2010 to 57% in 2013. But CSIS argues that a competition with only one bidder is not actually a competition. Once those procurements are taken out of the picture, the competition rate is smaller, but it is very consistent, between 48 and 50% over the past 6 years. But there are also outliers. Across the board, the military departments are much better at getting competitive offers for services than they are for products. But in the case of the Air Force, competition for services has been steadily declining. That figure dropped from 56% in 2008 to 42% in 2013. CSIS isn't yet sure why that's happened.
Air Force is declining, and it's declining from an even lower starting point. In 2009, Air Force effective competition for contract dollars in services contracts for the Air Force was only at about 56%. So it's declined from a lower starting point than anybody else. Our competition document that we put out yesterday shows basically that competition's not down in DOD once you take out Air Force Services. Of course, you can't just take out Air Force Services, but it does say that there are different prescriptions for different parts of the problem, and if you treat it just as a universal problem across DOD, you're going to come up with perhaps the wrong answer.
2013 was a unique year for DOD spending, since sequestration hit the department midway through the fiscal year. While it seems likely that the department will be living within those same budget constraints for the next several years, Berteau says right now it's difficult to predict whether some of the same patterns the report picked up for 2013 are likely to turn into ongoing trends versus one-year anomalies.
But it is very safe to predict, based upon those budget numbers that we started with, that unless Congress acts not so much to raise the caps, but to allow the Defense Department to spend more properly that which it needs to spend underneath it. In other words, reduce the rate of growth in military pay and benefits, reduce the costs that are non-contract outlays that in many ways don't provide value, reduce the amount of excess inventory and capacity that we have to sustain because we're not allowed to close a base, even though the military is substantially smaller and doesn't need a lot of these facilities. That's the $30 to $70 billion that Deputy Secretary Work is talking about. Unless Congress acts to let DOD make those decisions for prudent management that actually gets better military capability for the dollars, then contract obligations will continue to pay a disproportionately high share.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio.com and 1500 AM.